In 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "By this we shall know that we are all of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." This passage has been standing out to me quite a bit lately because of the phrase of our hearts condemning us. And it is clear from the scriptures that the accuser of the brethren, the enemy, accuses the saints before the throne day and night, whatever that means and however that happens. And also within his kingdom of darkness, there is this whispering ministry, I'm sure you've heard it, where the enemy is bringing up our past. Whether that's last night, last week, last month, or last year, he's bringing up stuff from the past to get condemnation on us. And the scriptures are very clear about that. But what we also see from this passage is it's not only the enemy condemning us, but our own hearts condemn us. It says, for whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. He'll talk about when our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. And that's my concern this morning. My concern this morning is the lack of confidence before God that many of us have because we feel that condemning heart inside us. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Many believers live not only with the enemy condemning them, but they also have a heart that continually condemns them. Under this judgment sentence, which is what the word condemnation means, it's a sentence of judgment. It was a civil term that was used back in that day where someone who had broke the law or done something egregious was arrested and there was a sentence put upon them. And under this judgment sentence, the disciple loses confidence to boldly approach the throne of grace in their time of need. And this is a dire situation because if we cannot approach the throne of grace, if we cannot approach the presence of the Lord for grace, then we cannot be transformed from the very things we're feeling guilty about. You see, if you live with a condemned heart, a heart that's guilty, it's condemning you on a regular basis and singing this wicked duet with the enemy. You dummy, you made a mistake, you did this, you did that, if they only knew. You know, if you'd only lived a life where you didn't do that stuff, you know, your heart says that stuff within you, and that produces a non-confidence before the Lord. And what happens is that when you get in that place, you get in a fig leaf mode. You're making figs, you're hiding yourself, and you're hiding from the presence of the Lord, which will never lead to transformation. We've all got to know from the scriptures, and hopefully you know, you cannot change one motive of your heart. You can repent of them, but the Lord is the one by His Spirit that changes our motives. He's the one who changes our appetites and puts a shift in those things. If you're in a condemning place, you're away from the presence of the Lord that can shift and change you. But if you are in a place of confidence before Him, listen, running to Him dirty. You got to get that phrase in your head. You got to run to Him, yes, clean, but you must run to Him even when dirty. He wants you doing that, believing boldly upon the gospel so that you can put yourself in a place where transformation can happen in your life. It is vital that we learn how to boldly overcome the condemnation that comes from the enemy and our hearts for us to experience real encounter and transforming presence in the grace of God. This is a big deal. Because I don't know that I know a believer, it's rare to find a disciple that's not struggling with some measure of guilt. They're struggling with this haunting guilt about something they're in or something they've been in that keeps being brought back up by the enemy, sometimes their friends, and especially their own heart. So before we take communion, I wanted to charge your hearts and give you courage this morning to overcome the condemning heart that's betraying you inside you. And how you do that is, number one, we must have faith in the blood and have confession of sin, which will release us from that condemnation. In 1 John chapter 1, earlier in the same epistle, verse 8, it says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I believe that's absolutely true about, you know, before we were saved. But I believe that the context of this passage is talking to believers. And though we are a people who believe in the righteousness of Christ that's yours now, in the power of the Spirit that's yours now to overcome sin, I do not believe that we should go to this unreal place to not say that we're all still struggling in the sanctification process. Something's happening to irritate us. Something's happening to draw our flesh away toward lust or food or whatever it be, covetousness, toward money. This stuff's happening in our lives and in our relationships. And what he says, if we say we have no sin, we're in deception. Don't be in deception about this in your life. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins mixed with faith in the blood, there is a cleansing that happens within our hearts. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing this letter. I'm writing this stuff to you so you won't sin. I don't want you to sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So what the scripture says is the way we break that condemning heart is by an engaged faith in the most powerful element on planet Earth, which is the blood of Jesus. We put our faith in that, and we confess, which means we agree with what God says about our sin and what the Holy Spirit's doing in us, and then we approach God by Jesus' resume and not our own. Let me say it again. You approach God not by your spiritual resume, never. I don't think you do that 30 years down the road, even when you're doing better. I don't approach Jesus by, look how good I did this last month. Look how much I fasted this last week. I approach the Father always with the resume of Jesus. You're righteous one. Jesus is in me, and his blood has washed away my sins. And when we do that, we begin to break the power of that haunting, condemning heart that's inside us, because God is greater than our hearts. We now can, in that position, know that we are no longer powerless. Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The next verse, which I didn't get down, verse 3 says, for what the law was powerless to do, Christ did by becoming sin for us. It's an awesome thing, taking on flesh. But what this passage is saying here is that you and I are not only forgiven, we're also in a place of power now. That word condemnation was a civil term that meant the judgment penalty. It meant you broke the law, you'd been arrested, and you don't get the rights of citizens that they normally get. You don't get the services and the freedom that citizens get. This scripture saying, there is therefore now no powerlessness. There's now no impotence for those that are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to live a hopeless life. He can boldly forgive us, give us that total cleansing, and he can also empower us to come before him, trusting in the law of the Spirit of life. And we must grow in boldness and courage based on Jesus' work to approach the Lord in worship and worship the Lord. Look at Hebrews 10, one more passage. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, oh, there's the word. That's the word I'm praying for all of you and for me. Lord, since we have confidence, many live without confidence. You cannot live the kingdom life with insecurity in your heart. You can't live the fullness of the kingdom life like many I've known in my past that said, I just want to get into heaven even if I'm on the back row as long as I slip in. That won't do. That won't glorify God, and it won't get you the full inheritance. There's got to be an ever-growing confidence and boldness that grows in our heart to boldly come before the Lord. And it says that we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain of his body, because he was slain. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean. Watch this phrase, everybody. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. A disciple should not walk with an evil conscience. This does not mean an evil behavior. That's coming out of your character and your will. Your conscience is your censor of what is right and what is wrong, and it is your discerner for where you should trust for what's right and wrong. Let me explain that. An evil conscience doesn't just mean a person doing evil. An evil conscience in this context was a people that were not trusting in the blood of Jesus, the torn body of Jesus, and that he was a great high priest. An evil conscience is one that's dwelling in guilt, soaking in condemnation, which is your choice, by the way, and saying, this is my payment for my sin. When you say that, you're rejecting the blood of Jesus. Is everybody with me? He doesn't need you to feel more sorry. He needs you to believe more. He needs you to repent, of course. Feel the conviction. But repentance should be quick, short, deep, and to the point. And then you rise up believing on the blood of Jesus and his righteousness to boldly come before the throne of grace. So many living with a condemning heart and an evil conscience that's constantly tormenting them. It won't leave you alone. It won't leave you alone when you're thinking about your sin and when you're not thinking about your sin. It colors the way you think about your life, and it produces insecurity that will not come before the presence of God. And let me say again, you do not change yourself. Transformation comes from exposure to the transformer. Transformation does not come from your will to transform yourself. You can't do it. He does the miracle of producing righteousness in your heart. Isn't that good news, everybody? But you're not going to get in that sunshine, in the presence of the transformer, if you're walking with a condemned heart and with an evil conscience. So I'm asking you to let your faith rise this morning in the most powerful element, the blood of Jesus. Let it rise. Let your faith rise and slay literally guilt in your life. You got to get over it. The Father is over your sin via the blood of his Son. And I don't mean to make light of your sin. I don't mean to say sin and then do, you know, just forget. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm telling you, we sometimes think our sin is more weighty than the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, that's not true. Where sin increases, grace increases all the more. My sin is weighty, but I tell you it's nothing compared to the weight of the glory of the blood of Jesus that can stop that condemning heart that keeps speaking to me. So as we prepare to go to the table, I'm asking for you to make a new resolve. A new resolve. I want you to continue to break the habit. It's a religious habit that gets in us of we got to do time after we sin, of confessing and feeling bad about our sin. We need to get quicker at repenting, and listen, quicker at getting over feeling bad about our sin. The feeling bad about your sin should be replaced about the feeling good about his forgiveness. Everybody with me? You know you've got over feeling bad for your sin when you start to feel good. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you've forgiven me. I believe that your blood is more powerful than what I did last night, last week, last month. I agree with you that it's sin, and I thank you for your cleansing work. And then you begin to shut that heart down, and that heart becomes a place of worship focused on the gospel instead of lamenting and regretting about its own actions. Because one last thing, a condemning heart is focused on self. The state of its heart, the state of its actions, okay? A free heart is totally focused on the gospel of Jesus. And so what we want to do is I want to pray with you. We're going to invite you to the table. We got a table down here and in the back, is that right? We got tables in the back. We want you to go with your families and share communion. And as we come, we do not take this lightly. Listen, the communion table, the elements are for believers. They're for believers. They're not for unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever, come to us or go to Jesus, be born again, and take communion with us today. But it's not for unbelievers. This is a sign of our covenant. This is what we're saying we place our faith in. The table is not for young children who have not received Jesus yet. It's not snack time here, okay? This is an important, sobering thing where we as the community of faith declare our covenant. And we say our hearts are happy. Our hearts are happy in the sacrifice of Jesus, and it's enough. And my sins are washed away. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the glorious gospel. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. I pray for everyone in the room, at whatever level and measure they're struggling with it, that are having hearts that condemn them. I pray that the addictive pattern of guilt and an evil conscience would be broken off of us today by a clear declaration of faith that we believe in the gospel. We believe that Jesus is the place of forgiveness. Thank you for the cleansing blood. Thank you for the broken body. Anoint our time. Fill us with the Spirit. We thank you that there's no religious law that we have to do this. We get to do this. And we as a community of faith, a big bunch of disciples on the first day of the week, come together and we declare here to one another and to the enemy, and especially to you on your throne, that we're putting all our trust in the gospel, in Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Thank you for your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.